What time is it? You heard that question before? Of course, I almost equate it with, Dad, are we there yet? Thinking about children asking that question. What time is it? It's really a very relevant, very important question. I read about the family who had a clock that was having a little trouble. In fact, at midnight, instead of striking 12 times, it struck 13. And the wife just happened to hear it. And she woke up her husband and said, "Wake up, wake up. It's later than it's ever been before." I guess you could say that it's later than it's ever been before tonight. But the scriptures instruct us, "See then that you walk circumspectly." That's the New King James Version of Ephesians 5:15. "Walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time," or making the most of every opportunity, "because the days are evil." Listen to the Amplified Version. "Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up every opportunity, because the days are evil." This morning we talked about investing our lives and some principles for investing our lives. And really those are principles of stewardship, recognizing that every blessing that we have is from God, including the time that we have. So tonight I'd like for us to focus on being good stewards of the time that we have. I want to suggest some ways that we can do that. Number one is to redeem the time, or make the most of the time, by thinking about its true character. Here's a couple of quotations you may have heard before. Benjamin Franklin: "Dost thou love life?" he asks. "Then do not squander time, for it is the stuff life is made of." Certainly our lives are composed of moments of time. Thomas Edison is credited with this statement: "Time is the most important thing in the world." It'd be hard to argue with that. Because if you think about it, it takes time to come to know Christ and obey Him, to become a child of God. It takes time to grow as a Christian. We need this time. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But suffice to say that time is extremely valuable. It's precious. And we need to redeem, make the most of every moment that we have. Leroy Brownlow wrote, "Many of the valuable things in life which are lost can be regained." For example, a person may be struggling with health for a period of time, but hopefully, prayerfully, over that same period of time, his health will improve. Once health has been damaged or lost, sometimes it can be regained. Sometimes a person may lose his wealth, a bad investment, and so forth. But a person could rebuild that wealth over a period of time. One may lose a friend because of something said or done, but perhaps that friendship can be restored. And on we could go. Some of the important things in our lives, even a character, a reputation that is harmed because of some misdeed, some thoughtless action, though it may cause that name to be marred for a while, even a person's reputation can be rebuilt. But you see, with time, once it is passed, it is gone forever. We need to redeem the time by thinking about its true character. We need to redeem the time by thinking about how brief life really is. And I was amazed at the abundance of scriptures there are about this fact that life is all too brief. Let me remind you of a few of those. Job 7 verse 6, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope." Now, some of Job's comments that we'll read, of course, were spoken when he was suffering intensely. And so there's a struggle here as he contemplates how brief and how difficult life is. Job 9, for example. Now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. They pass by like swift ships, like an eagle swooping on its prey. And there's several different images there of just how quickly time passes. I couldn't help but chuckle as I was reading and studying about this statement. My days are swifter than a runner. And I thought about how even some here have children that have participated in events in track. In Clifton, we go all day and wait all day at a track meet just to watch our children run for a few seconds, maybe a minute, maybe a few minutes, but all day just to see that one race that passes so quickly. So whenever I read this statement, I think about runners, how swiftly they run and how quickly that event is over when you've been waiting all day on it. Job 14:1, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Again, Job speaking out of the grief of the struggles that he was enduring. Psalm 39 speaks to the brevity of life. The psalmist says, indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. The New American Standard Version states that last part, every man at his best is but a mere breath. One paraphrase states this verse, you've made my life no longer than the width of my hand, and my lifetime is nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. A classic passage on how brief life is, James 4:13-14. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. How many times have you uttered that verse when something unexpected happens, good or bad? We don't know what will happen tomorrow. Or as the proverb says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. I found this little poem that I have grown to appreciate more and more. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. And later, as I older grew, time flew. And soon I shall find, while traveling on, time gone. I'm in the time running. And it's running by ever so increasingly quickly. Psalm 90, verse 10. The length of our days is 70 years or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble or sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. It's no wonder then that the psalmist followed this thought by inspiration 2 verses later. So then, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We need to recognize, as foreign as this thought may be to some of us, that life is brief. So we need to make the most of our time. Number 3, obviously, we redeem the time by not wasting it. By not wasting it. Let me just mention a few ways in which we may waste time needlessly. Don't waste time by meditating on the hurt of others. Don't waste time by dwelling on the pain that others may have caused in your life. Something said or done. Instead, we need to spend the time, if our brother sins against us, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. We need to spend more time seeking to reconcile than dwelling on hurts. Because dwelling on hurts brings bitterness, resentment. It brings about a negative attitude that affects every aspect of our lives. That's a waste of time. Since we're in the new year, I read about one New Year's Eve that a British dramatist, Frederick Lonsdale, was asked by Seymour Hicks to reconcile with a fellow member of their club, their organization. The two had quarreled in the past and never restored their friendship. And Seymour Hicks was explaining to him, it's very unkind to be unfriendly at such a time as this, a new year on the brink of a new year. Go over now and wish him a happy new year. So Lonsdale crossed the room, spoke to his enemy, I wish you a happy year, but only one. Wasn't a very good attempt, was it? It's a waste of time to dwell on the hurts caused by others. It's a waste of time by pondering past mistakes. Philippians 3, and please note who wrote this by inspiration. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There are so many who can't seem to put the past behind them. They're filled with remorse, regret, guilt over things that have been done in the past. And even those who have become Christians and know that they've obeyed the gospel and that they know the cleansing power that the Bible teaches that the blood of Jesus has, but they're still struggling over events in the past. Sins committed. When we do that, when we ponder past mistakes, having done those things to receive the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, that's a waste of time. And the one who wrote this passage by inspiration knew everything about what it means. Paul did look back on his life. I think about 1 Timothy chapter 1. He talks about how he was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent or a violently arrogant man. But he said he did these things in unbelief, ignorantly in unbelief. But he thanked God that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom he says, I am chief. So no, he hadn't forgotten the events of the past, but he wasn't pondering on the guilt of them. He rather now looked back and just thanking God for the blood of Jesus that took all those things away. It's a waste of time to ponder past mistakes. Don't waste time by worrying about the future. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, Jesus says, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Jesus says, worrying is a waste of time. It demonstrates a lack of faith. Instead of worrying, put your focus on seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those necessities will be provided. That's a promise of God. I love Walter Kelly's statement. Worry is faith in the negative, trust in the unpleasant, assurance of disaster, and belief in defeat. Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. Don't waste time by worrying. Rather, redeem the time by using it wisely. Again, making the most of every opportunity, redeeming the time, buying up the opportunity. Use time wisely, and here's some reasons why. We need to use time wisely, otherwise we won't get done what needs to be done. I was reminded of Jesus' statement when he's talking about the scribes and Pharisees who paid tithe of mint and anise and cumin, but neglected the weightier matters of the law like justice and mercy and faith. And he said, these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. I want to borrow that statement. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Because everything important, it takes time to do. It takes time to do everything. Let me give you some examples. Men sow and reap, but it takes time. They get an education, but it takes time. They build a career, but it takes time. They become Christians, but it takes time to study and learn how to become a Christian. We can grow in the Christian graces, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11, but that is a process that takes time. Everything takes time. We can become teachers. Hebrews 5 says it takes time, though by this time you ought to be teachers. The Hebrew writer says you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. Enough time had passed where they should have been teaching, but they needed more of the milk of God's word. It takes time to practice pure and undefiled religion, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. It takes time to do everything. So use time wisely. Otherwise, we won't get done what needs to be done. Use time wisely because we pass this way but once. It is appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment. Perhaps you remember this quote. It's attributed to a Quaker by the name of De Grillet. I shall pass this way but once. Any good that I can do or any kindness I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer it nor neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. Good philosophy of life. Underscoring the need to make the most of every moment because we won't pass this way again. Use time wisely because we don't know how much time remains. It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And I think about a boiling pot with that steam coming off, and it just vanishes quickly in the air. We don't know how much time remains, but we do know that we will give account of how we have used our time. This idea of stewardship covers every aspect of our lives, including the time that we have. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done in time, whether good or bad. Use time wisely, because we don't know when the Lord will return. Paul says, you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. We don't know when Jesus is going to return, so we need to make the most of every time, doing his will, anticipating his return. C.W. Bradley wrote this statement. There's a danger that we will become so involved in the material concerns around us that we don't take time for more important matters. It is our purpose on this earth to glorify God every day, every hour, in every moment of our lives. Paul said, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's our all-consuming purpose. Are we using our time for that purpose to glorify God in everything that we say and do? So use time wisely. And around the beginning of a new year, we often think about how we want to use our time more effectively, more efficiently. Let me remind us of some of the most important things that we need to use our time doing. Let's grow in our relationship with God. Studying His Word daily. Praying to Him daily. Worshiping regularly. Fellowshipping with other Christians. All those things that help us grow in our relationship. Let's set aside, make time to do that most important thing. Let's spend time with family members and friends. We get so busy. We often neglect our relationships. Let's make time to build those relationships. Make time for doing good. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Make time. Watch for opportunities to do good. And then redeem the time. Use it wisely by bringing others to Jesus. That's the greatest thing that you and I can do for another person. Suppose, and we'll have to suppose really hard. Suppose you had a bank that credited your account each morning with $86,000. And the thing is, you had to use that $86,000 in that one day. It couldn't be, any surplus could not be carried over to the next day. You had to use it all or lose it. Every evening, canceled whatever part of the amount you failed to use during the day. So what would you do? I think we try to find a way to use every cent of that $86,000. Well, we have such a bank, if you will, and its name is time. And every morning it credits us, unless the Lord returns, or unless something happens to us, with 86,400 seconds. And every night it rules off as lost whatever of this we fail to invest in good purposes. And it carries over no balances. It allows no overdrafts. Each day it opens a new account for you. And if you fail to use the day's deposits, if we fail, then the loss is ours. Let's spend it wisely. Carl Sandburg wrote, time is the coin of your life. It's the only coin you have. And only you can determine how it will be spent. Be careful lest you let other people spend it for you. Is our time well spent? C.W. Bradley also wrote this statement. He said, the Bible never puts any emphasis on tomorrow. It's always today and now. And as I thought about that statement, I have to agree. The Bible, the only sense the Bible speaks about tomorrow is the hope that we have as a child of God. But the Bible speaks more of today and the importance of this day and now. Let me give you a couple of examples. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, for He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We've begun a new year. Perhaps you've already been thinking about how you're using the time that God has given us. Let's reflect more on that. And let's purpose to redeem, to make the most of, to buy up every opportunity that we have to fulfill God's purposes in our lives. The greatest use of our time tonight is, if there's some changes we need to make, perhaps they're of a public nature, or we need the prayers of the church, it may be that there are some who need to obey the gospel. There's no better way to spend the rest of this time tonight than by making sure your life is right with God. If you need to respond in obedience to the gospel, if you need to ask for the prayers of the church, or the prayers of the church for that you may get back on track, or for some need in your life, we ask and hope that you will let that be known. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing?